For more on the settlement approved today, we turn to James Cox of Duke University Law School. Professor Cox, the dollar amount of this settlement is a record $1.4 billion, but given the size of the firms involved, is that really going to hurt so much that it would deter any of them from ever doing those things again?
I'm very skeptical of whether the settlement was of the right amount. Their market capitalization for the 10 firms is 100, maybe 200 times that. I didn't have a chance to calculate it precisely, but I would say probably in the major of $150 to $200 billion. The amount of the damages they caused to investors as a result of this conduct was also unmeasurable, but probably in the $10 to $20 billion range. A settlement of this scale, $1.4 billion, doesn't seem to me to make them say, ouch. And I think a settlement should make them scream loud. I don't think that they're screaming except perhaps with joy.
And it certainly doesn't. It isn't enough to put anyone out of business, of course, is that right?
No, I think what we find here is a settlement that, like many settlements, you'd get what you can at the moment with the amount of resources you can put into it. I think the governmental agencies have put on a very good fight. They've taken on some of the strongest forces in the marketplace, and they did what they could under the circumstances. And as Elliot Spitzer mentions, this doesn't, or Steve Cutler rather, the private suits are ongoing. They will be assisted by some of the evidence that's been gathered by the government investigators, and some of those suits will produce large settlements themselves. So the investment bankers are not out of the woods by any means on this, but at the end of the day, I'm very doubtful that they'll ever be made to give up all that they gained by their misconduct. Answer your question, that because they aren't required to give up everything that they gained, it's likely that they'll be tempted in the future to do the same.
Talk about some of the structural changes that they're required to undertake, which include the firewall, strict separation between investment banking and stock analysis, research analysts' pay not being awarded by bankers and not being tied to investment banking deals. What else would the firms have to do?
Well, what we find interesting in these structural changes is that last May, the NASD adopted rules that apply to all the investment banking firms that require just exactly what you're saying, that the analyst compensation cannot be tied to the investment banking arm, that the investment bankers cannot exercise control over the analyst function. So what we find in the settlement here is what I would call tweaking of those rules, carrying out their spirit with specific guidance as it applies to these 10 companies. An example of that is we're not going to let the analysts go out on calls to investment banking clients so that they can be trotted out in front of the clients and say, we'll support your stock if you provide us with some investment banking business. That's just not going to happen. You know, this specifies, for example, that what companies will be covered by the analysts will not be under the control of the investment bankers themselves. You know, all of this was implicit in what was adopted by the NASD last May, but it was only implicit. This makes it explicit.
But in that case, if all of these changes do, in fact, become the norm on Wall Street, what's the virtue of being a researcher, a stock analyst for a famous banking firm if you're no more connected to it than you folks at Duke Law School are to the tobacco fortune?
Well, I guess it may be just that the love of the work would be one thing, and we must realize that from time to time, it is in the interest of the investment community that you bring the analyst over the wall, so to speak. That is, that the best person who knows the telecommunications industry may be an analyst on your staff, and if you're working on an investment banking relationship where somebody's looking for an acquisition in the telecommunication, you would want to bring that analyst into the job. And so you would want to bring that person over the wall. The question is, once you bring them over the wall, you got to keep them over the wall.
Thank you very much for talking with us. Professor James Cox of Duke University Law School.